You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 7:06. It's nice to have you here on this Friday morning, October 4th, just, 32 days until Election Day, and we are coming to you this morning from the studios of WAUK in Waukesha, and Greg Bach is here as well, and Brittany Merlot is joining us to tell us about the weather forecast this week, and Rob from Tigerton says that Brittany has been great with this nice weather, but we do need rain. And Brittany, good morning. I don't know what I missed down here in Waukesha, but came out and there was some raindrops on the cars and in the parking lot, like a little something came through that I wasn't expecting, but I'm betting it wasn't very widespread, whatever it was.
No, it definitely wasn't. So we had a little cold front move through and a little line of rain through the overnight hours. A lot of it, though, actually made it to the ground in the southern parts of the state. Northern half of the state didn't see any of that as we went through those evening hours. And now things are frigid up north. In fact, a freeze warning is still in effect until 9 a.m. for the northern west portions of the state. That's Douglas, Bayfield, Burnett, Washburn, and Sawyer counties, and a frost advisory for the entire Northwoods. So temperatures have dropped below freezing in places like Antigo, Merrill, Phillips, Rice Lake, Siren, and they've even hit the upper 20s into Tomahawk, Hayward, Eagle River. So a hard freeze into some of those places this morning as high pressure moves over. Few clouds still lingering into southern parts of the state, but those will clear on out of here. We've got nothing but sunshine today, mid-60s north, upper 60s south, so cooler than yesterday. And of course, on the Great Lakes, we've got a gale watch because those winds are going to be whipping this weekend. So some high waves expected on the lakes. And of course, for tomorrow, it'll be breezy, sunny, and warmer. Highs flirting with 80 degrees in towards the southern parts and into the mid-70s up north. We do have another shot of some rain moving in tomorrow night, mainly while it's dark, so it won't dampen any of our plans. It does want to stay up towards the Northwoods, Northeast Wisconsin, Fox Valley area, putting down maybe a quarter inch of rainfall, which, like Rob said, every drop is needed. So hopefully that actually materializes as that front pushes in. We drop cool on Sunday, still breezy when switching to out of the northwest. We fall to highs in the low to mid 60s, with those winds still gusting up to 30 miles per hour. So a windy weekend, warm on Saturday, cool on Sunday, and we could see another hard freeze on Sunday night.
You look like you're sitting still, but yet you're all over the place. We've got 80s. We've got hard freezes. We've got maybe the 60s. We've got rain.
We've got locusts.
We've got gale warnings. Everybody named Gale, watch out. Just a crazy weather weekend. Rob from Tigerton also says it's a clear in 41. Yesterday was truly a very beautiful day. Mowing lawns, picking up medication in Wittenberg. Mowing season isn't going to last much longer, Rob. We always appreciate the update there. For folks that didn't catch it last hour, the reason I'm down here in Waukesha is from being at a concert last night. So I missed the Brewer game because months ago I'd bought tickets to see Air Supply at the Riverside Theater for my wife. It was the first concert she'd ever been to. It was an Air Supply concert at the Manitowoc County Fair in 1983. So 41 years later, she got to see them again live while a bunch of us are looking at the Brewer score, on our phone and everything, right? And this all would be fine, except that when I mentioned this to Sharita Booker yesterday, she's like, I've never heard of them. Who is that?
Whatever.
There is that generational line for everybody. And for a young woman from Milwaukee, Air Supply, not in her musical Rolodex, to which she would also say, what's a Rolodex? So Grandpa just gets older all the time. Brittany, did I ask if you had a first concert? What concert are you going to see 20, 30 years from now where you're going to go, wow, they're still playing?
Oh, well, the very first concert that I ever went to was Spice Girls. So they're not playing anymore, I don't think.
Not yet. Well, when the money's right, they come out and play. But
I don't know. It'd probably be like Backstreet Boys. That's my generation. Those are the first few concerts that I saw.
Rob typing in on YouTube, I love Air Supply. Awesome group. And trust me, there were a lot of people that felt that way. People a little more rambunctious than I expected for Air Supply. But then again, there's, you know, and they're all in my age group. I guess some of them just like Air Supply a little more or drink a little more. I don't know, whatever it was.
When I went to go see Michael McDonald years ago, it was an amazing show. Tickets at 8 o'clock, show started at 8 o'clock, was done at 10 o'clock on the spot. Mm-hmm. But there were some rather overserved ladies in the audience. And Michael was just like playing, you know, riffing a little bit, saying thank you for being here. And just, you know, playing the piano. And then at one point, this woman just screams out, I love you. And he just goes, okay. And just keeps playing. He's like, ma'am, I am in my 60s now. I would appreciate quiet and respect.
Yeah, you could tell from these two guys as well, Graham Russell and Rachel Hitchcock. It was just like, they mentioned that this was their live show number 5,450. They're coming up on 5,500 live shows that they've done, because next year will be their 50th anniversary of making music together.
That means they've played I'm All Out of Love probably four to 4,500 times. Yeah. Imagining that didn't, because that didn't come off in their first record, correct?
That one wasn't. No.
Yes. Yeah,
no. So. It was their final encore, and of course everybody was singing along to all of these things. It was something. But I have to say, Brittany, before when he mentioned Michael McDonald, I was on Jane's show and they tend to play yacht rock when I'm on, and that would include the Doobies, Whether Fool Believes, and it was just so hard. They weren't letting Greg sing along in his Michael McDonald style. That's what I just wanted to give you a moment to give us a little Michael McDonald styling. There. Now I feel better. At this point, people are also like, why do you keep Brittany around so long? Because we can tell her that Rob also went to see Cheap Trick in Wausau in 1982.
Oh, that's awesome.
We could do this all day. Just as people write in, we just get their takes and Brittany reacts to them. And or we could let her go.
I want to just see one where they're like, I went to go see this band. She's like, not a fan.
One day, it'll happen.
That is not Brittany style. Thank you, Brittany. Have a great weekend.
You too. Bye.
Reminder that you can get what we do at Up North News through our daily newsletter. You can sign up for it over at upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe up there in the top banner. You can also click support in the top banner if you'd like to provide support for the work that we do at Up North News, a separate entity from Civic Media, but one where we very much appreciate what we do here with our radio friends. Comments about the Brewers' loss yesterday to the Mets include Roger and Stevens Point wondering if this is the last that we're going to see of Willy Adames. And, I mean, let's not kid ourselves. There was all kinds of turnover from last year, and there was a lot of talk like, well, that was the end of that run. You know, 2018, we didn't quite get there. We'd had other times where we got to the postseason but didn't get nearly as far. Well, then we got this year. You know, this year was a nice surprise after losing Stearns to the Mets and Council to the Cubs and the players that we lost to injuries and trades and free agency. And I completely understand. Today is like a group therapy session for, a big chunk of Wisconsin. But again, when you consider what we've got in, I mean, I don't believe Churio's going anywhere, right? Jackson
no.
Churio?
No, we're going to keep him. We're going to spend money on him, and I think Willy Adames is gone. I don't think Mark Antanasio is going to pony up the cash for that. He's going to allow that to go away, and
yet
once again,
we'd added so many names, you know, over the course of the year. Some coming up from the minors like Churio and others that we acquired, who simply needed a change of scenery. So I get that today is really not a great day, but maybe it's just the eternal baseball fan in me that, you know, I'm still going to be there on opening day with all the hopes up. But obviously some people don't feel that way today.
No, I'm once again, I'm mad at Mark Antanasio because that's where I am, like, always. I'm just mad at him.
Well, but remember, we also get Brandon Woodruff back next year. He'll be back from injury. So, hey, come on.
Fingers crossed.
That's right. Tony writes in from Ashland where he says it's a bit chilly. And he says, hey, we've still got the Cleveland Guardians, the Brewers of the American League, in my opinion. I'm like, I keep forgetting. Yeah, the Brewers aren't in the American League anymore. Yeah. I know. Greg's like, I'm not cheering for the Guardians. Well, some of us are still Stephen Vogt fans. We're happy for Stephen Vogt. So.
I'm happy for him. He's gone. He's nothing to me now. He's nothing. No, I'm just kidding.
Dead.
No, I mean, it's fine. Whatever. I mean, I'm mad that the Mets won, but if it was any other situation, I'd be cheering for the Mets. But my friend's a Mets fan, and he's really laying it on thick on social media. So I'm like, I hate your team.
Okay. Hey, on the National Day calendar, I didn't mention earlier, this is National Golf Lovers Day. This is National Truckers Day. This is National Vodka Day, which I could certainly tie into the Brewers' Laws and how some people feel. It's World Habitat Day. It is Improve Your Office Day. Maybe later, but I need that stuff sitting on the floor there. That way I know where it is. And it is National Cinnamon Roll Day, which leads me to share this bit from our daily newsletter. Sign up at upnorthnewswi.com and talks about how cinnamon rolls were once something that only the wealthy could ever get because cinnamon used to be such a crazy expensive spice. But now, of course, it's ubiquitous and everybody loves a good cinnamon roll. Sometimes with dinner, recall that when Christina Laurie was talking about supper clubs a couple of weeks back, she talked about how at Toby's in Madison, diners that stop in between Monday and Thursday know that a plate of hot homemade cinnamon rolls is delivered to every table as an appetizer. Or an appetizer, as the case may be. I was not familiar with that. I've been at places where they have kind of a sweet bread, like, you know, but I wouldn't call it a sweet roll or a cinnamon roll by any stretch. But I told Christina I would try to keep an open mind on these things, that maybe a cinnamon roll before dinner isn't a bad thing.
I'm like, who doesn't love dessert before the main course?
Yeah. I mean, this is America, right?
Right.
We can have dessert whenever we want.
Yeah.
Yeah. Normally, Jim Zantel's on at 7:20. He joined us at 6:20 this week because he's got a schedule conflict, but we'll have him at 7:20 next week. We will unpack some of the headlines here before we welcome in Mark Jacob and Dan Schumacher, still yet to come. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Friday morning, October 4th, when you're here, you're up north, even when we're in Waukesha like this morning on the Civic Media Radio Network. Missed it during our history lesson earlier. This was the day in 1986 when Dan Rather, then anchoring the CBS Evening News, was accosted by a disturbed individual who tried attacking him and kept saying, "What's the frequency, Kenneth?" Which I know to most folks sounds like, "Oh yeah, that song. I know that song." Back then, it sounded very weird because there was no song like that. REM was inspired to write this song based on that. But, you know, imagine somebody attacking you and just saying some gibberish that doesn't make sense, like, you know, the Brewers are going to win the division. You wouldn't understand, and yet it happened. In this case, REM wrote a song about it.
They wrote a song about the Brewers winning the division?
Yeah, no. The frequency count.
Oh. Exactly.
The sports world does go on, of course. The Badgers will be playing Purdue this weekend. Pre-game starts at 9:00 tomorrow morning on WLAK in Amory, WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids, WRJN in Racine Kenosha, and WRCE in Richland Center. And then there's the Packers. They're in L.A. to take on the Rams. That'll be a 3:25 kickoff Sunday afternoon. Pregame starts at 1 p.m. Sunday on WRJN Racine Kenosha, WRCO Richland Center, and WCQM in Park Falls. A few folks are going to be lucky enough to see some northern lights. Either you may have seen them last night. They may be available, or they may be visible tonight. in some parts of the U.S. That follows what are called two coronal mass ejections on Tuesday from a massive X71 solar flare. You know, Greg, the X71 solar flare, not to be confused with anything else, any of those other geomagnetic storms that you might know about.
I thought, okay, thank you for clarifying that. I'm going to write that X71.
I have to go look for them now simply because from being in Saskatchewan over Labor Day weekend, where they're like a much more regular occurrence, and I've got these great photos. I'm right from my iPhone, got these great photos of the Northern Lights. I've only seen them once in Wisconsin, you know, like the really amazing show, you know, that looks like you're at a Pink Floyd concert or something.
Yeah.
So now having seen them more recently, I'm like, there's no doubt I will be outside tonight looking to find them, because I'll be on my wife's parents' dairy farm up by Manitowoc. So hopefully the light conditions will be really good there. But wanted to let people know that they have a chance to maybe see some Northern Lights tonight. The big news, of course, in Wisconsin yesterday was Vice President Kamala Harris coming to campaign, and not just campaign in Wisconsin, but to campaign in Ripon, Wisconsin, the birthplace of the Republican Party, and to do so with former Congresswoman Liz Cheney, one of the many exiled Republicans, one of the many Americans who feels like their right-of-center party has been hijacked by extremists. And in this case, you know, the daughter of a former vice president said that both she and her father and hundreds of people who have worked alongside or for Donald Trump are pointing out the need not to sit this election out, but to vote for Vice President Harris as a way to send a message about preserving democracy and to not tolerate the kind of anti-democracy extremism that we have come to see in today's Republican Party. Cheney called Trump's candidacy, quote, a threat unlike any we have faced before. And she called on conservatives to join her in what she called an urgent cause to elect Vice President Harris and reject what she called Trump's depraved cruelty. The joint appearance was one of the starkest examples to date of how the vice president has endeavored to pitch herself as a unifying president who values pragmatism over partisanship, the New York Times wrote in its coverage of the event yesterday. Both women spoke about the significance of being in Ripon, where the party's founding leaders first met, bonding over their opposition to slavery. Kamala Harris said that Liz Cheney stands in the finest traditions of its party's leaders. The Harris campaign has also been working to campaign for support of union workers. Nearly every major labor union has endorsed Kamala Harris for president. There have been some exceptions, like the National Teamsters Union, which was answered with practically every local Teamsters Union endorsing Kamala Harris. Well, she also visited the union stronghold of Flint, Michigan, or plans to visit Flint, Michigan today as she tries to battle with Donald Trump for working class voters. And the appearance will come a day after dock workers suspended their strike at ports along the East Coast and the Gulf Coast in the hopes of reaching a new contract and hoping to spare the country a damaging episode of labor unrest that could rattle the economy somewhere around Election Day, somewhere around the holidays. A tentative agreement was reached to raise salaries, although other issues will still have to be resolved. The Wisconsin Department of Justice confirmed yesterday that its criminal investigators are indeed looking into the removal of the city of Wausau's only absentee ballot drop box by the mayor last month. The district attorney in Marathon County had asked for assistance from the state DOJ about the incident when Mayor Doug Denny removed the drop box on September 22nd without consulting the clerk. And it is the clerk who has the authority under a Wisconsin Supreme Court ruling to make a drop box available in the state. The mayor has stated that he is an opponent of drop boxes, and he wanted the city council to discuss the matter, but that's really not how this thing works. And so now the Department of Justice will look into a matter that could lead to some kind of consequences for a mayor for basically, you know, tampering with tampering with elections, which takes us to Colorado, where a former county clerk, Tina Peters, who tampered with election results, is going to spend time in prison, quite a bit of time in prison, actually. And that was after the judge sharply criticized Tina Peters for her crimes and for her lies before sentencing her to 9 years in prison for a data breach scheme that was spawned by Donald Trump's false claims about voting machine fraud in the 2020 race. Peters was found guilty by jurors in August for allowing someone to misuse a security card to access the Mesa County election system and for being deceptive about that person's identity. The judge saying, "I am convinced you would do it all over again. You're as defiant as any defendant. You are no hero. You abused your position." And that clerk's going to get 9 years. And that's the right penalty for trying to undermine democracy by using her position of authority. Talk to Mark Jacob next. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. This is Up North News Radio on this Friday morning, October 4th, 7:34. Mark Jacob joins us now, as always on this Friday morning. Mark, how are you?
Doing great.
Good. Nice to have you along here. As always, you can get Mark's newsletter, Stop the Presses, at stopthepresses.news, and you can see his video series with Stephen Beschloss, Media Misses. We're going to talk a little about events going on in the news, a couple of things that have me a little worked up after the VB debate, the campaign, the state of emergency from Hurricane Helene and the damage it caused to the southeast. But I don't want to forget, because you hinted at this a few weeks back, so we'll get back to the news. But you've been involved in another project as well with your brother. And as I'm reading up on this, I'm going to lead into it by saying there are a lot of tall dudes in the Basketball Hall of Fame. And you and your brother have been working on a biography about the shortest player in the Basketball Hall of Fame, but perhaps one who is as much a giant of basketball as any others. Tell us about it.
Yeah, the book is called Globetrotter, How Abe Saperstein Shook Up the World of Sports. It's about Abe Saperstein, a Chicagoan who, short guy, loved basketball, loved sports, and started the Harlem Globetrotters. And Pat, the Harlem Globetrotters weren't from Harlem, and they weren't Globetrotters. They were from the South Side of Chicago. Abe gave them that name, and they started touring the Midwest, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Michigan, Iowa, Illinois, and eventually became world famous, as just about everyone knows. And the reason it was such a cool project was that we learned so much. Like Abe Saperstein pioneered the three-point shot in basketball. Dick Caitlin Clark owes a debt to him for that. She doesn't even know it, I bet. But anyway, it's kind of a fascinating book about all the stuff that Abe Saperstein did to change sports. And my brother, Matthew, lives in the D.C. area, and I live in the Chicago area. And it was a way for us to stay close as to collaborate on this book project. And it came out this week.
And it's, again, from what I'm reading about it and reading about Abe Saperstein's life, which began with his parents basically fleeing for America to escape anti-Semitism in Poland. And of course, the anti-Semitism that he and his family had to deal with in their lives. And then working with a basketball team that, of course, had to deal with the racism that was here in this country. And yet persevering through it all. And not just persevering, but innovating and succeeding. And pointing out that you can create an entity like the Globetrotters that some people thought we're essentially making a mockery of basketball, but showing you can mix skill with showmanship and actually attract more people to the sport.
Well, the funny thing about it is that the NBA ultimately took on that Showtime kind of role. And in a lot of ways, their style mimicked the Globetrotters with these, you know, the quick fast breaks and these kind of fancy behind the back passes and all this other stuff. And so they kind of were style setters.
And so for more about that, of course, the book is Globetrotter, How Abe Saperstein Shook Up the World of Sports by Mark Jacob and Matthew Jacob. So do be looking for that. I am sure it's going to be a great read, and it sounds like a very fun project to work on with your brother. That it's not the lane I expected from you. And so it's always fun when you can find that kind of a diversion and really enjoy it and do it well. All right, let's talk about some of the things that are in the news this week. And how do I go about starting this? Well, you know what? Actually, I want to go back because we were just talking about the 9-year prison sentence handed down to Mesa County, Colorado clerk Tina Peters. In my mind, a rare bit of good news that there was some real accountability. And the thing is, it kind of snuck up on a lot of us because, I mean, the Donald Trump trials seem to be everywhere. You know, of course, the January 6th committee and so many things were all around. This was just happening behind the scenes. And next thing we know, this person who had abused their position of authority as part of the big lie in 2020 is being held accountable. It was some rare good news in this 4-year escapade.
Yeah. And when you look at it in the last, decade or half decade, even, the sad fact is that more Republicans are being caught, many more Republicans are being caught committing election fraud than Democrats. So this idea that, the Democrats are trying to steal the election is really a bunch of BS. And from the fake electors to the kind of crap that was going on in Coffee County in Georgia, where they were, letting them into, there's a lot of illegal stuff going on. But again, Pat, what needs to be emphasized is that our election counts are legitimate and they are to be trusted. And, as somebody who was in the news business for 4 decades, when 2020 was approaching the election, I was really worried there were going to be like big long lines and confusion and just chaos that could be pointed to by the Republicans to explain why they lost. And it wasn't. I mean, I was actually kind of shocked by how clean an election it was and how it came off, really relatively, trouble free. I mean, it was one of the best run elections of my lifetime, if not the most. It didn't matter though, did it, Pat?
No, it didn't. Because again, it's, you can have, if you tell a lie about anything, however good and unspoiled it may be, if enough people decide to conspire against it, they can besmirch anything. And that has us in the place where we are now. And yet it just seems like, and again, in the case of this segment here, national media still doesn't get it. And here's the one that really got to me yesterday. And again, I normally don't have big problems with the Associated Press, but in the write-up about Vice President Kamala Harris and former Congresswoman Liz Cheney in Ripon, Wisconsin yesterday, birthplace of the Republican Party. Near the top, the AP reporter says that Cheney and Harris called on Americans to reject Trump, quote, citing his refusal to accept the results of the 2020 election and his failure to quell the insurrection of January 6, 2021. And I just take those two lines, his refusal to accept the results and his failure to quell the insurrection, and it's giving him a pass on far too much. He didn't refuse to accept the results. He deliberately tried to undermine them. Attempted to stage a coup. And his failure to quell the insurrection, he instigated the insurrection. These are not in dispute, and yet the AP reporter couldn't bring themselves to do anything other than try to couch the language about what Trump actually did.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. You see it in the headlines too. There's what I call, there are these passive constructions where they say something bad happened, but they're not going to tell you who did it, or in the case you cite, they're going to act as if something happened and Trump failed to react to it when he's the one who made it happen in the first place, as you point out. That this kind of passive construction is kind of it's what I call, media going into the safe space where they don't have to blame anyone for anything, even though in this case, it's pretty obvious who should get blamed. But it's just this little safety tactic they try so that nobody gets mad at them.
Yeah. Well, like you said, in one of your posts this week, is that there needs to be more of a concerted effort to use headlines like, you know, Trump's lies are becoming increasingly unhinged, because the language itself is there, but he's been getting a pass for so long for his originally rambling style of speaking that as it gets into the unintelligible, you're not seeing then media coverage reflect that.
Yeah. Please don't read that whole tweet, because I used a bad word.
Yes, you did. Yes. And I
yeah, yeah, I was talking, I wanted to say, stop messing around, but I didn't use messing. And, but my point was that, I mean, it's so obvious, you know, Trump made up completely out of whole cloth an idea that Kamala Harris is stealing FEMA funds so that she can pay for illegal immigrants to come over and vote. I mean, that's a lie in a bunch of different ways. Because he's suggesting that that the recovery from the hurricane is being botched. It's not. Nobody in a position of responsibility is saying that it's going badly. Everyone is working really hard to help these people. And what drives me nuts, Pat, is that there isn't a single human tragedy that happens that Donald Trump won't try to exploit.
No. And that includes with whatever misinformation. And it doesn't even have to all come from him. When you see how much social media traffic is devoted to, you know, well, if only we could get back the money that's being sent to Ukraine.
Right.
Folks didn't come up with that on their own. That's a lot of Russian bots that are planting, you know, seeds in there that people want to seize upon. And they're willing to believe things like, you know, FEMA aid is being squirreled away for other purposes, rather than what is actually happening, which is, as we Vakil described in the last hour, Republican members of Congress having every opportunity to fully fund FEMA and saying, no, we're not going to do it.
Right. So they're not going to fund FEMA, but they're going to complain when FEMA doesn't get funded. They're not going to pay for bridges to get built, but when the bridges get built, they're going to take credit for it. I mean, there's this, and the media is part of this, Pat. I mean, this is a media segment, and I can tell you that the news media often fails to make those connections, and therefore they let charlatans in politics get away with stuff like that.
Oh, I'll give you an example closer to home, looking at a story in the Superior Telegram when Tom Tiffany came to town. And Tom Tiffany talking, you know, mostly his usual border garbage, but also talking about infrastructure and the need to make sure that the Blatnik Bridge, this massive bridge between Duluth and Superior, that is part of the bipartisan infrastructure law, you know, gets done efficiently. And spending this whole time saying, we've got to make sure the job is done right and that these regulations don't run into cost overruns, which is all typical, you know, right-wing fare. But I don't recall seeing anywhere in that story that Tom Tiffany voted against the bipartisan infrastructure law, which enables him to even talk about the Blatnik Bridge in the first place. Now, we are seeing, you know, more outlets that point out when members of Congress are talking about something that they voted against, but it's still far too frequent that doesn't even come up. And it's just wrong.
Yeah, you know, I guess I'm an optimist, and I do think that there's reason to believe that things are slightly getting better. Now, are they getting better in the news media quickly enough? No. But you are starting, the New York Times who I blasted in my newsletter, you know, recently, because they just aren't doing enough. But they did have a story yesterday about, you know, how Trump could really do mass arrests of his opponents and get away with it under the current law if he became president. But what I wanted to point out was that Jonathan Martin, who I'm the chief political columnist for Politico, who's I don't always agree with at all and have blasted. Here's what he posted on Twitter yesterday. One of two political parties fine with a nominee telling flat lies, demagoguing immigrants in the worst tradition of American politics and hustling every possible buck he can. Total acquiescence from most every elected Republican. Which to me, I want to see political reporters say things like that, because that's what's going on. That's not prejudice. That's not slanted coverage. That's what's going on, Pat. Right.
That's the fact. And include all of the facts, which takes me to one other example. And God bless my wife when she sees me yelling at the TV. Here is one of them. Shannon Pettypiece did a story on NBC Nightly News the other night about the housing plans between Donald Trump and Vice President Kamala Harris. And it was by and large a straight up piece on Kamala Harris is proposing all of this, a lot of construction to work on housing stock, and Donald Trump is doing this or proposing this. Nowhere in there does she mention the centerpiece of the Trump housing plan that he and J.D. Vance talked. J.D. Vance talked about this at the debate. You're going to solve the housing crisis by deporting millions of immigrants. By the way, some of whom are now legal. They're now opening the door to deporting legal immigrants. That is a central part of the Trump-Vance housing plan. And Shannon Pettypiece thought that that didn't merit even a passing mention. And again, it comes under that category of sane washing that just is malpractice as far as I'm concerned.
Right. Yeah. I mean, to think that you're going to solve the housing problem by putting millions of people in camps and then sending them out of the country. By the way, these are some of the same people who are doing the roofing and helping build houses too. So it's not like you're going to solve it that way. The disruption in what is now a healthy economy would be massive. I mean, and people need to face up to that. You know, it may sound great, you know, all these scary immigrants who are murdering our children are going to be kicked out of the country. They may want to think that. They're not, number one, they commit less crime than people who were born in this country. And number two, it would be an incredible disruption in our society.
You know, it's just, there's so much stuff out there. We didn't even get to what a big story it should be that a president is talking about having just one day of mass violence against migrants.
Oh my gosh.
Couldn't even get to that today because there's so much. Mark Jacob, thank you as always. Have a good weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
See you then.
Dan Schumacher is next. You're up north.
Trailed by 20 hounds. Didn't get to sleep that night till the morning came around.
All right, it's time to wrap up the week as we always do on Up North News Radio, talking a little sports for the weekend with Dan Schumacher, a little Grateful Dead music for him and for Mr. Bach. Which one of you is our Grateful Dead DJ for this Friday morning?
Oh,
it's a friend of a devil.
There
friend
it is.
Friend of a devil.
Okay.
He's the MC. I'm the DJ.
the MC and the DJ. Very nice. Dan Schumacher, Executive Director of Athletics Northland College up in Ashland, joins us right now. How you doing? How you doing there, Cubs fan? Are you there for support or to twist the knife for all of us here this morning?
I really was cheering for the Brewers. I was. I am. I, you know, it's like somebody who comes out of the NFC North to play in the Super Bowl. I'm going to cheer for them because they're part of our division. So, yeah, and I really like the manager for the Brewers. So I was really disappointed how it ended last night. So I watched the whole game. Great games, though. Three great games in a row. I don't understand. I'm still trying to figure out how a division winner plays a wild card team for only three games.
Yeah.
I don't understand that.
Well,
the whole playoff structure.
This whole notion of, you know, getting a bye. A bye is supposed to be this great thing that you get. Well, then if you're going to do that and if you're going to have divisions, then you're going to have three byes and you're going to have to, you know, add other wild card teams or as they had before, not have as many wild card teams. But yeah, there's something wrong about it. And the only reason I don't complain about it is because people say, well, you're just using it as an excuse and you know, but both can be true. It can be a flawed format and you can be unhappy that your team didn't come out on the end of it successfully. But, you know, I know I've been Mr. Glass half full all morning here simply because, again, it was such a surprisingly better than anybody expected season, you know, from the very start. So
they did it without Yelich. I mean, they did it without their superstar. And that's a good tribute to the manager and the staff and keeping everybody together. And they developed more players that way.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's the thing.
It was a good series.
If you get Yelich back and now you've really got Garrett Mitchell fully back from injury, you've got Jackson Churio now. So, I mean, you have something. Brandon Woodruff is coming back next year. So, I mean, it's not like all has been lost, but, I mean, the expectation, and that's the thing. Now they're going to be feeling the pressure next year. You know, you don't get it this year. It's like, you know, it's like we're playing with house money, they like to say. That's not how this is going to work next year by any stretch. No. It's like, you guys got to perform now. This is the new assignment is to get past the wild card round.
Well, Wisconsin people now can all focus on the Packers now.
There you go. We
yay.
Hey, you know, if you'd have said, you know, Jordan Love was going to be missing action and that, you know, you'd still be 2-2 at this point in the season.
Yeah.
That, again, not I'm sorry to sound like, you know, I got some rose colored glasses on here, but 2-2 with your starting quarterback missing two games. Not awful.
I really thought at halftime of last week's Packer game that they were going to go to Willis.
I did too. Yeah.
I really thought that they were going to make that change. That there just wasn't something right.
He wasn't landing on that 1 foot when he was throwing passes, like the guy on TV was saying. And I was surprised that they didn't, but obviously, well, I haven't gotten to talk to you since last weekend when I was in Minnesota with family there. And in typical Vikings fashion, you know, the game was on in the background on a little TV in the kitchen. That was it. Because the Vikings fans were like, even when the team was up 28-0, they were joking like, oh, we'll find some way to screw this up. And they almost did.
Yeah, no kidding.
So Vikings.
I think it's a pretty amazing story, that quarterback for Minnesota, for being a journeyman right now and coming
Sam
out and
Darnold,
being 4-0 after, you know, and now what is he playing? Are they in England this weekend or something?
Yeah, they're in London this weekend.
Yep. London. So I don't know. And Detroit looked good.
Yep.
I thought Detroit played very well. I thought the Goff was what, perfect, 18 for 18.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's unheard of in the pros to be that accurate and that kind of completion ratio.
Do you know that around the rest of the country, people look at us Midwesterners as there's something really weird based on something you said a couple of minutes earlier? Because here we're kind of talking up the strong points of everybody in the NFC North. And we've talked about how, you know, in the National League Central, that if it's one of your division foes, you know, you still kind of wish them well in the playoffs. And around the rest of the country, they're like, we would never do that. There's nobody, you know, there's never an Eagles fan that's going to wish, you know, for the Washington football team or for the Cowboys to do well. Well, they're in our division, you know. We're the weirdos in the nice people in the Midwest. They're like, well, if we can't get it, if the Lions finally win, well, good for them.
Yeah. The Cowboys are not playing well. I mean, wow.
Oh, no.
It's just a shame, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just a shame. Yeah. Prescott's not playing well. They don't have a run game.
What are your Bears
McCarthy,
up to?
I'm surprised Mike McCarthy is not on the hot seat.
He does not want to talk about his Bears right now. There's just nothing to be said there, is there? are we already talking about switching quarterbacks here, or?
I don't know, but I mean, Prescott just isn't living up to the label.
No, I meant that for the Bears.
Oh, the Bears?
Oh, is it Caleb Williams, right?
We should have never traded Justin Fields.
Here we go. Yep.
Unbelievable. He goes to another team and he lightened it up. Unbelievable.
Yep.
Just unbelievable.
Badgers, by the way, are playing this weekend. They are hosting Purdue. So let me get the plug in for that. 9 a.m. tomorrow on Civic Media stations in Amory, Wisconsin Rapids. We're seeing Kenosha and Richland Center. And then the Packers, of course, at L.A. playing the Rams. 3:25 is the start there on Civic Media stations in Racine, Kenosha, Richland Center, Park Falls. You around Chippewa this weekend or up in Ashland?
Yep. I'll be around Chippewa this week. I'm going to be leaving this afternoon after work. So
okay. You still got your boat in?
What's that?
Boat still in?
Nope, it's out.
Yeah,
it's
same out here. I know. Yeah, all right.
I already got the canopy off for the lift, so they're going to take it out. So
changes.
But hey, one more quick thing.
About 10
congratulations
seconds.
Congratulations to Caitlin Clark.
Oh, yes. Caitlin, rookie of the year.
WNBA rookie of the year. Well deserved. And as much as there's controversy with the Reese girl, Angela Reese.
I think that'll turn into a nice friendly rivalry, shall we say. So we'll see.
Well, it's been rough so far.
All right. Yeah, I know. But I think it'll get there. Thank you, sir. All right.
Good weekend.
Thanks for joining us, Greg. Thank you. Have a wonderful weekend. It's good to see you all here. Have a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you Monday morning, 6 a.m., back up north.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.